Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, welcome back. Oh my God. Following one of the greatest games in the history of the NFL regular season by none other than our Detroit Lions against the Minnesota Vikings. Oh boy, we're here to celebrate that victory. And we're a little shorthanded here today. I'm not going to lie to you. Our guy Big Z is on the IR today with his voice broke. And he can't get it fixed in time. So hopefully he'll be back for the next podcast. But he's not able to make it tonight. Rud Dog's off on a, he's working a little bit, but he might join us later in the pod. So I'm here with Bob.
Hey, how's it going, UJ?
Pretty good, pretty good. Now, Bob, let's start with you, man. You were at the game.
You were there
with your bride and your son and your Connor and Charlie Zaccone. And tell me the experience. Just give me a little rundown, man.
It was amazing. I'm thankful that Ford Field is an indoor stadium because it was so freaking cold outside. The atmosphere. Well, you were at one of the loudest games in NFL history, the Rams game.
I was at that game last year. Yes.
Yeah, that's like the gold standard as far as I'm concerned. Just because that was so much pent up energy from Detroit fans. Yeah. But this one, you know, this keeps building and building, and this thing is huge right now. And it wasn't like an hour before the game, everyone's going nuts like that Rams game. But once the game was on, man, it was crazy. And then remember the Rams bought all those, or not the Rams, I'm sorry, the Vikings. They bought all those tickets and they're like, oh, we're going to take over the stadium. They did a little chatter early, but it wasn't very loud and it faded quickly, you know, when their spirits were broken.
That seemed crazy, didn't it? They spent $2 million to buy up 1,900 seats. Like the 1,900 voices are gonna be overpower the other 63,000 or 64,000. I don't think so.
But the atmosphere was electric. You know, the Lions do a great job on the production values now these days with the new uniforms. I mean, we're not the big fans of the black ones, but given what they had, they did it with the black and the whole stadium and the lights and everything synchronized and. And so the energy was crazy throughout the game, and it just kept building and building. And late in the game, I didn't see the TV broadcast, so you might have seen this earlier. But the Lions were in a big defensive stand, and they needed a big stop. And then they got one big stop, and then they needed to get one more play. I can't remember if it was third or fourth down, but then the scoreboard, they found Hutch on the sidelines, and when they saw him, the energy in the place just like whoosh, through the roof, man. Everyone was nuts. And I think that affected the game because the next play, they were just like, whoosh, you know, it was just energy was like insane. And it was so fun.
They did show that on TV, by the way, with Hutch on the sideline cheering everyone on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we noticed it too. I mean, we were all going, hey, there's Hutch, you know, there, believe me. And I was just at home with my wife watching, but, all my daughters, everyone we know was watching the game somewhere, but we were in contact with each other. You know, we got the text threads going and everything. Oh, it was amazing. What a game.
And then, like, in the fourth quarter, you know, when it was, you know, the Lions had the game well in hand, then all the fans, we started doing the skull chant, you know, with the clapping over the head, you know, like in the synchronized, you know. So we're throwing that back on them. There were some Vikings fans there, not a ton, but there were, you know, you could see them. There were enough there to find them. And
yeah,
they were very quiet late in the game. We had some guy behind us who was like going nuts early in the game, like every time they'd make a play or the Lions would screw up or something. Yeah. But he was very quiet as the game went on.
Well, this game was a revelation to me. I mean, all the talking heads, you know, a lot of it was like 50-50. I think most of the talking heads as far as who's going to win this game, Lions or Vikings, people are pretty split on it. And the general consensus seemed to be we were going to have to score a ton of points to win this game.
Yeah.
And because Minnesota was no doubt going to score against our defense, who with all the guys we have missing and all that. And wow, did we turn everything up on its ear, man. This defense came out to play a game. Holy cow, man. I don't know what Aaron Glenn did to these guys. They were like just maniacs out there. They just controlled the tempo of this game from the get-go. You know, when we didn't score on our first drive, I'm sort of immediately thinking, Minnesota, what they score, now we're going to be playing catch-up. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
It just didn't go that way at all. At all. So it was, man, I don't know where to start.
It was crazy, though. Yeah, like, I think we all predicted it would be like a high-scoring game, pretty much. And,
yeah.
I mean, ended up being pretty good for the Lions in the end, but mostly, you know, the beginning, especially the first half, was a very defensive game. And,
Here's to me one of the big differences between the Lions and every other team we play right now. And I don't know about the AFC right now, the Chiefs and the Ravens. We'll see when we play them in the Super Bowl. But we are just a better team. We outlast people. We are a hammer. We are like the Vikings have a great defense. They're quick. They're fast. They're disruptive. But we just hammered them. How many times did we go two tight ends, extra linemen, and we pounded and pounded and pounded and pounded. And we softened them up. By the third quarter, you could see it. That defense was beaten down, and we were gashing them. It just took three quarters to do it, you know.
But yeah.
And they were done. They were toast. They could not stop us at that point. And Gibbs just went wild. It just a testament to our offense that the line, the play calling, consistency, staying with a game plan. I mean, you know, never giving up on the run, even when it's not looking good. And, you know, when we had to, we passed. And look at Goff not have his best game ever. He made a couple mistakes, couple what you normally be very costly mistakes. An interception on the 5-yard line. Oh, my God. And then he turns the ball right over after we get it back and on an interception. No big deal.
Yeah. What was it? Was it Campbell who was saying that? You know, when Goff makes mistakes like that, he just gets mad, you know, and he gets tougher, you know, because I think as the game went on, that fourth quarter, he was just slinging it.
He does. You know, maybe his best play of the game was another fourth down. Of course, we're going for it. We always do. Fourth and three, I think it was. And he had a guy blitzing right in his face, and he waited till the last second.
Oh, yeah.
Dips a little to his right and throws a sidearm, flings his sidearm pass to J-Mo cutting across. For a first down, he took a hit too in the process. What a play!
Yeah,
what a brilliant play. I mean, Goff was brilliant in this game. You take away his mistakes, and he was brilliant.
Oh yeah, and what you're talking about, like how the offense, you know, they pounded the Vikings defense and kind of wore them down. I think our defense, they played with such violence, and they. I didn't see with the broadcast, but somebody was saying that they were saying, oh, you can't play man on Jefferson and everything. But Glenn stuck to his guns, man. They were playing man coverage most of the game, and they were blitzing people from different angles. And they just stuck to their style, and they wore him down. And Sam Darnold, he's having a great year this year, but they were hitting him. You know, if it wasn't showing up in a sack, it was showing up and just him getting nailed to the turf after he lets go of the ball. So he was getting a little rattled out there too. So
he was, Bob. I think you nailed it, Bob, with your word violence, and that's how this team played. And you're right; they just came hard and heavy, man. Every receiver who caught a ball got punished. Darnold got punished often, and they broke one big run against us. But aside that, they didn't run much against us, and our defense just came to play, man. They played fast. They played furious. They just never hesitation. They just went after people.
Yeah.
It was
something, man.
It was a thing of beauty to watch. And let's just talk about the defense a little more. Anzalone coming back.
Oh,
what a difference.
What a lift that was for the whole team, I think. And he just that when he came out in the pregame introductions, that the stadium was insanely loud because that was,
yeah,
everyone's been waiting for him to come back. And we're so excited to see him. And he, you know, they were talking about snap count or whatever, but I don't know, felt like he was out there the whole game. I don't know what snap counts were, but he played a lot. He was out there affecting the game too. So,
oh man, he was all over Hockenson most of the game. I think he allowed one. Hockenson had two or three catches maybe. But he was all over the field. I mean, him and Campbell back there together. Wow.
Yeah.
These guys cover ground, man. They stop people. It was amazing. He was a major boost to that defense.
Oh yeah. The linebacking was great. Reeves Mabin made some plays, and then and the secondary, you know, it's unfortunate Arnold got banged up late in the game, but they played a hell of a job. I mean, Amik Robertson, wow, what a game for him, man. He was a great pickup. You know, he's not one of the guys we drafted, but we got him, and he just fits that style, and he loves being here. He's getting an opportunity with the Lions that he didn't get elsewhere to really show what he can do, you know, with that style of defense. So it's worked out really well.
Yeah, he got the game ball after the game from Campbell, and you can see he's so humble and he's so happy to be there. And he made some funny comment. You can't bury what comes from dirt. Well, he's talking about himself. He says, you know, they try to put me down, and, you know, you can't bury what came from dirt. I'm not sure what that means, but I think I kind of get it, but sort of in an odd way. But
so if you dug up a potato from the dirt, you couldn't rebury it?
Because once it's unburied, oh, wait a minute.
Wait, because it came from the dirt. But
if you're a potato and you came, no. Anyway,
I don't know. I'm sure he has it figured out.
Here's the guy. He's a little on the short side. I think he's about 5'9 or 5'10. So he was never expected to be CB1 or CB2. He was going to play in the slot and whatever. And he's had a really good season for the Lions. But here, forced into action, he had to play their best receiver. And, man, holy cow, 3 catches for Jefferson in that game. And Chris Collinsworth, the whole game, was talking about how whenever he talked about Jefferson, he talked about one of the best, if not the best, receiver who ever played the game. Chris Collinsworth was saying this several times during the game. Now, come on, man. And then and Amik shut him down. Just literally shut him down.
And he is a great player. I'll say that. But but the Lions rose to the occasion, man. They stopped him. So it's amazing. Man. You know, that's what some of these prognosticators were just looking at pure statistics and like all that, you know. Oh, yeah, on paper, you know, he's going to torch this Lions defense, which has been struggling lately. You know, with all the injuries, but Aaron Glenn, another guy who just was huge this game. He came up with the plan, man, and that just seemed so cool out there. You know, like Aaron Glenn, he just got this thing down, man.
He does. You know, any team's looking for a coach, yeah, you got to be looking at that game. Holy cow! I'll tell you that here's where the prognosticators and the talking heads fail too all the time. They always do, and like we as fans and Kool-Aid drinkers, you know, we know this team. We love this team. But there's more than the numbers, game, and the stats and all that stuff. This team has something different. It really does. It's just, you call it heart or call it desire. I don't know what you want to call it. This is a team possessed by football.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this team is, I can't recall seeing a team like this. The one comparison I'll sort of make, I want to say the 85 Bears. If you remember that team.
Yeah, I do. I grew up in Chicago, so I know.
To me,
yeah,
that was the single one-year best football team I've ever seen in the NFL. Their defense was just astounding, and their offense was average, but they didn't have to be great.
They certainly tell you that in Chicago. That's
the greatest. But this team has that sort of, maybe not that braggadocio kind of that the Bears did, but we have something going.
I don't know. UJ, that was a great team. I don't know that they were the greatest. So I mean, a lot of people say they are, but I thought the 84 49ers are pretty damn good. But anyway, there's a lot of good teams. But
yeah.
But if this team completes what they're doing right now in this mission, you can argue, you can make the argument that they're one of the greats. So, you know, if they got to obviously finish the job, but if they do, the way this team has played all year and just like looking back, you'd have to rank this team up there.
Yeah. Oh, you have to. Yeah. And you'll have to say Dan Campbell is the greatest football coach that ever coached football.
Yeah, it certainly feels that way, man. And you look at, like, we're talking about Chicago. I mean, we'll bring it to the current Bears. Like Matt Eberflus, who got fired, obviously, but just the whole difference in the team. You know, like when they would lose like a close game or whatever, he's like, oh, you know, we made the right plays, and you know, like all this stuff, all these excuses and mealy mouth stuff. And Campbell always takes responsibility. He yep. also expects the players to take responsibility for the subs, and they do, and they respect the coach. Right. The coach respects them, and they high standards for each other, and they believe in each other, they respect each other, and you don't see that on those bad coach teams. I just used him as an example, Eberflus, but there's plenty of others that don't right. have what the Lions have.
You know, and he never sees hurdles. Like, he gives the other team their due respect. Oh, this is a great team we're playing and this and that and blah, 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 you know, like that. But he relishes every single challenge. He goes, this is great. Yeah. All right, the last game of the season, we get to play for everything? Great. For the first seed? Great. This is fairy tale stuff. It's what we live for. And you get the players believe in this stuff. And it's like, I mean, man, yeah. it's not like, oh, man, now we got to win this game. Nah, we got to overcome this. No, they're not overcoming anything. They're chomping at the bit to get at these things. They want to do these things more than anything.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. It's incredible.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And he's smart, too. You know, like a lot of those national people, or, you know, when he first came out, they were calling him like a meathead and all this stuff, and like he's stupid or something. But if you listen, I think that's because they picked up on some quotes or whatever. But if you listen to him speak at any length, you know he's not dumb at all. He's a very smart guy, and he's
extremely
very highly motivating. You know, the way the players talk about him, yep. and the way the fans, like casual fans who never played football, want to play football when they hear him talking. Like, I'll go play for that guy. You know.
But just listen to any press conference he does. His emotional IQ is off the chart. He explains things, you know, thoughtfully. Everything he does is thoughtful. It's meaningful. You know, he's not just making up stuff and giving you lines and you know, he's very genuine. And I think the players just live off that. And you can see it. You can see it in that locker room. It's just the love there, that the whole team, you know, I mean, they just play for each other. There's no jealousy. There's no anything. They're all playing for each other. And
yeah.
Achieving great things in the process. So.
Let's talk about a little more about the game. Like, what did you think? Yeah. Like, some highlights, I guess, from the offense or the defense, or I don't know how you want to break it down. I don't know if you want to go through the whole game, but at least some of the highlights.
Okay. I'll start with my first highlight. It was in the first drive. The Lions are going for a first. I think it's their first down. He does a little flare out to Gibbs, and Gibbs catches it out in the flat and runs, like stops and runs backwards like 3 yards to regain to regain his feet, and then takes off and still gets the first down. Get past the defender. A super athletic move. I couldn't believe it. The drive stalled, but that was pretty awesome by Gibbs.
Who was obviously the player of the game with 4 touchdowns. Well, and
might as well just talk about him a little bit. Yeah. He got pummeled by Van Ginkle, just absolutely pile drive him. And I don't know if that was Goff's fault or is that someone missed a block or that just they didn't anticipate it, whatever it was. But
Read that perfectly, though. Yeah,
that just shows you how tough Gibbs is.
Yeah, and they beat a good team. That also demonstrates that they sniffed out a few of those kind of things on the Lions where they'd get them. I mean, that was a highlight reel hit there, but but there were other plays similarly that got kind of blown up a little bit. But the Lions just keep doing what they're doing, and they eventually break through.
They do, but and also too, the Lions. Let's just talk about it. You talk about complimentary football. And how everyone helps each other, and the special teams in this game. The end of the first half, the Minnesota kicker kicks one out of bounds. We get the ball in the 40. with a chance to score with like 15 seconds on the clock, right?
Oh, right, yeah.
And two pass plays later, we're in field goal range, and boom. And by the way, I think Khalif Raymond caught one of those passes. First one to Amon-Ra out of bounds.
Oh, yeah.
Then to Khalif, and they were able to clock it. And then Bates gets the kick, and we score an easy 3 points. So there's special teams taking advantage of a mistake, which we've been doing all season. Just great football.
Yes. And, speaking of special teams,
yeah.
I didn't have stats prepared, but I did find one stat. But you might have seen this. But Jack Fox set a single-season record in net punting average for the year, 46.2 average. So for the NFL history. So that's not just
a... NFL history.
Yes. So there you go. Jack Fox. This team is legendary. So that was just one thing. But he's been great this year. I'm pinning teams deep and just flipping the field. It's been fantastic. So he obviously kept that going this game.
He did. He did. What else on offense? Aside from Goff's couple mistakes, he generally had a really solid game, and in the second half was actually more than solid. He was fantastic.
I thought that throw that Goff had on fourth down to Jameson Williams, where he got crushed right in the middle as a blitzer went up the middle and he converted on fourth and five, I believe it was, to Jameson. That was a really good throw.
That was a fantastic throw. We mentioned that earlier, and that to me was my favorite throw of the game from him. He had a lot of other good throws. That one to Amon-Ra right before the end of the half was just the most well-placed throw you can imagine.
And his 50-yard, 5-yard bomb to the other team. His first down punt throw or whatever.
Yeah.
He was the second best punter in the game.
Yeah. Right.
That's right. So it shows you he just wanted to show off his arm a little bit. You know?
Yeah.
No one really knows what happened in that play. Gibbs sort of slowed down, stopped running, and
Get it. From our angle, it looked like it's gonna be an interception, you know, like just watching it come down. Like,
yeah.
And it was, but it didn't hurt him. And what was the other? There was another play. I was asked for your help on this one, where they went for it on fourth down and they had J-Mo wide open, and I think it got tipped at the line, but I couldn't really tell at the stadium.
It did. It did.
Because it just looked like a really bad throw. I'm like, something had to go wrong with that.
No, it was tipped.
Okay.
It was tipped. Yeah, we didn't get that fourth down play.
That was a good call though, because he was open. But obviously,
it was a good call.
They defended it, but
I'll tell you, Campbell's has been stuck to his guns this whole time. He's been amazing. Oh, hey, there is a play I wanted to talk about. Maybe you can, I can recall your memory on this. That touchdown pass to Gibbs when he lines up to the right and just delays like he's going to block the end and then cuts, just starts, you know. The end.
Yeah, yeah. Just like...
It was such a brilliant play, simple and absolutely brilliant. And he scores a touchdown. We did that same play against another team earlier this year, and I was having trouble remembering who we did. Exact play.
Really? Exactly. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that.
Anyway, sorry. Wow.
But that was a hell of a play. Gibbs was just fired up, man, this game.
Yeah. But again, that was on fourth down. You know, this is so not unusual for us to do this.
And like one of those, one of his first downs, I don't know, it was like a 15-yard run or something, but he caught a corner. And when you see him like live from the side, just going by, he's so fast. It's ridiculous.
it is. And you can see when he sees that little, it could be a little split. It could be this tiniest opening, but when he sees it, he turns the jets on and then the defenders don't have a chance. They just,
And that one touchdown that he ran in, in the last few yards, he was like the whole pile, you know, he just backs up and he's using his legs. So, he's got that too, the little Monty in him. You know, he can do it all. So
he does. He's powerful, and he's the most humble little kid too. I mean, in the locker room, they give him a game ball also, and he's just man a few words. Hey, love you guys. that was it.
Yeah,
he's just very humble guy, and wow. Yeah, what are all those prognosticators saying now? What a bad pick that taking him in the first round. Remember that?
Yeah, I never.
What a horrible pick that was.
I liked that pick from the start, but I, yeah, a lot of people didn't like that or the Campbell pick, you know. Yeah. And they were two huge contributors to this game.
Huge.
Yeah. They obviously don't know what the hell they're talking about. But
I mean, where do you start in this game? I mean, our tight ends played great. LaPorta had 7 catches, I believe. In this
game. It was nice to see LaPorta. He's the second half of the season, especially. It seems like they're really starting to use him a lot more, and which will be helpful for the playoffs.
And as a blocker, he is terrific. He is terrific. Him and Wright together. There's one on Gibbs's short touchdown run, the 10-yard one, I believe it was, where he went to the outside. LaPorta and Wright flattened Van Ginkle to create that edge.
Nice.
They pancaked him and gave Gibbs that edge to just run to the corner. It was beautiful.
That's sweet. And that's that whole thing that Campbell and, you know, Ben Johnson are preaching about. This, you have to block if you're going to be on this team, you know.
Yeah.
You're not just going to be a receiver or whatever. And there was one play, I wish I could remember the detail of it, but I just remember watching it, and I was talking to Charlie about it after it happened. But they got off a pass, and it was a first down. I think it was to Amon-Ra or something, but Gibbs had a sweet block right there. That there was a guy like come right in his face, and he like nailed him right there with a huge block. So he helped free up the pass. Yeah,
Gibbs is a really good blocker, and Craig Reynolds also. I want to give him some props.
Oh yeah,
when he came in, he had a couple really solid blocks in there for Goff, and that's one of the big things, you know, because a lot of times our line they blitz a lot of people, especially the Vikings, and there's a lot of times there's that one guy coming free. And if our running back doesn't pick him up,
he's
a dead man. But they were picking him up. So fantastic. Yes. You know, it's funny. And Ben Johnson did not have to go to any circus plays or any weird stuff in this game. He just had a really solid game plan all around, I think.
Yeah, there was always huge cheers in the stadium every time Skipper reported eligible. But but they didn't throw to him or anything. But
I think that's great. Gotta love Skip, man. Hey, you know, you look in the last 3-4 years watching this team grow. Skipper, man, that guy, he's come a long way. Remember?
Oh yeah,
getting cut from the team and coming back.
I think that one game where he was like forced to start, and he did well, and he got a game ball. I think that really built up his confidence because Campbell really called him out on that, you know, and gave him props for playing, being so tough. And I don't know, since then he just seems to be.
He does.
Believe in himself, you know.
Like, his demeanor seems different. He seems meaner and tougher.
Yeah.
And he's so big, man. That guy's a monster.
Yeah. And he is. He's huge.
He's 6'9". Uh-oh.
KJ. UJ, I think I found the play where Gibbs had that passing touch, this receiving touchdown. I think it was on Thursday Night Football against the Packers. Or on the he had that angle route on the goal line.
Yes.
It was against the Packers.
The same exact play, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was from like 2 yards out, and this one was from 10 yards out, but it was the same route.
That's awesome.
That was awesome. It,
Nice.
That's the play I was talking about. So that came back again. You know, I can't believe they didn't scout for that. You know, but whatever. You guess you can't scout for everything.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson doesn't miss too many tricks.
Yeah. That was a heck of a game, though, man. What did you think? That first half, it's kind of like I did predict that, right? That I thought it would be close, you know, for the first half, and the Lions would, like, pull away. Yeah. But I thought it would be a higher-scoring game for sure. And I was so impressed with that there's no touchdowns for Minnesota. Who would have thought? It's, you know, especially with the depleted defense. That's why I say that. I mean,
yeah. But yeah, there's so many superlatives go around. It's you don't even know where to stop. But since the game has been played, I guess Ben Johnson has two job interviews this week. One with the Patriots Bears. And one with the Bears.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, and Aaron Glenn, he's got the Bears reached out to him too, I think. And,
oh really? I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, well, I'm sure they'll both be hot commodities this year. hopefully they hold out for the right job, and if it's not there, they just stay with us.
They should be. I think they're both going to be great coaches wherever they go.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm really happy for Aaron Glenn. I think his road's been a harder road that he's traveled since becoming a coach to get where he's got to. So
yeah.
I feel really happy for his success right now. If he goes on to be a head coach, very happy for him.
I would. Somebody mentioned that the Jets might be interested in him, which would make sense because he was a Jet, you know.
Yeah,
back in the day. But I don't know if they've reached out to him or not. I haven't heard officially.
No, I haven't heard officially yet either. I did hear there was actual personal interest there.
But they can do. I guess this week they can do a Zoom interview with the. With a team that has the bye or whatever. But otherwise, they're going to have to wait till the end of the season after that. So
very interesting. But I'm not going to worry about that stuff right now.
Yeah, they can't. The NFL teams can only virtually interview until the 20th. And then they can go then they can do in-person interviews in either the coach's city or some approved location by the team. And then they're supposed to break off communication with the interviewing teams by February 3rd before the Super Bowl. Otherwise, it's tampering.
All right. Well, there you go.
Yeah. It still seems weird interviewing for a team while you're coaching another team.
Yeah, that does seem weird. Yeah. But, well, here's what we do. You know, here's why we're successful.
It's the nature of the game, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know, Bob. Are you going to be going to the next two playoff games? That's my question, because you do have season tickets.
Yes, definitely.
All right, good for you.
So it'll be awesome. If they just win that next game, have a home NFC championship. Like, oh my god, this record? You know, I was listening. I looked back at our old predictions. I think you had 17-0 was yours.
Yes, I did.
Mine was 15-3 for Z. Connor had 14 and whatever.
14-3?
Yeah, 14-3. I had 15. What did I have? Wait, I had 14-3. Okay. Connor had 13-4, rather.
Okay.
And so nobody got it perfectly, and Red Dog had them 17-0. Well, you had beyond 17-0. You had... undefeated through the Super Bowl. So,
well, here's the thing about our two losses. The Tampa Bay was second game of the season. I mean, we haven't even had a preseason game. They didn't even practice. So, Tampa caught us a little off guard. Okay, fine. No one caught us off guard after that. But we get to the Buffalo game. All right, the Buffalo came in with a solid game plan and hit us in the mouth hard early in the game and went up big early. And if it wasn't for that, because we came back and almost won that damn game, but time ran out.
Yeah.
I don't look at Buffalo like did anything great to us. Like, we let ourselves fall behind early on that one. But, we could have easily won that game, too.
Oh, yeah.
There's no team out there that's better than this team. I just don't think so.
I completely agree.
But from top to bottom.
I mean, look at Minnesota, had the same record as us, and we just kicked their ass again. You know, second win against them.
I mean, you see Sam Darnold sitting on the bench, looking like Sam Darnold old, you know, oh my God. He forgot where he was. Just thinking he was back with the Jets again or something.
Yeah.
it was sad. But, you know, the Vikings are a tough team, and just a great game.
Yeah, what a season, though. I mean, as a Lions fan, I mean, your grandchildren, they grow up and the Lions are great all the time, right? Because they're young.
Right.
But but for us who are a little older, we've seen it all. And we've seen 0-16 and just a lot of mediocre football for a lot of years. Some good football, but not great, you know. And now we're one of those teams, you know, that you looked at, those the old Redskins or the, 49ers. You know, we're one of those elite teams now.
I know.
It's crazy.
It's so weird. I mean, I remember back in 1981, Eddie Murray missing that field goal against the Niners, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Out of the NFC Championship game. And that's a far, that's my old oldest disappointment.
By the way, I was looking up the box score of that game. I did see that game, but that was, I don't know how old I was. So it was a long time. I don't really remember it, but I remember them losing with the missed field goal. But I didn't realize, because you were like, oh, Gary Danielson willed him to win, but he also threw 5 interceptions in that game.
Yeah. He did. Well, that's how your memory plays.
But he obviously got him down from field goal range at the end. They should have won it, even despite that. But exactly. I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
5 picks.
Yeah, yeah. So many years of mediocrity, and every once in a while you'd get a spurt of life, like during the Barry Sanders years, and you know, 91 when we went to the NFC Championship game. That was a fun team. That's the run and shoot offense, and we scored a lot of points, and it was a fun team. And then we fell off the face of the earth again after that.
Yeah,
we're bad for a lot of years. Had a few good years under Stafford.
Yeah, we had 5,000 yards and Calvin, and you know, a lot of excitement, but they could never get it all together.
We always had to find one player to root for or something, because otherwise, you know, this team, every player on this team, like, it's not just one player. It's everybody. It's remarkable.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's very fun.
Anyway. And
now it's all natural, right? Like, hey, last year, you might be a little nervous in games. This year, I mean, maybe you're nervous a little bit, but you're just kind of figuring out, like, well, how they're going to win now. Okay, they're down 10, but okay. They just need, you know, another touchdown, to stop, and then they'll be right back in it. You know, there's no, like, doubt this year like there was in the past. You know?
No, no. And that's a decades-long adjustment to make, right, for us who've been rooting for the Lions for so long.
Yeah, but that's all, to me, that's all history now. I don't even think about that stuff anymore.
I've been telling my kids since the day they were born, I says, loyalty will pay off someday. Someday, people ask me, why do you root for that loser team? Year after year, people tell me, why? What other team? I love them. My team, you know? And then I says, someday. It's the victory is going to be so sweet when they actually do win it. It's going to be the sweetest thing ever.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm starting to taste it right now. So
it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. So anything else you'd like to close up with, brother?
Did you have any of those other stats? Well, we had Gibbs broke the record. You know, he had 4 touchdowns and he got the single season scoring record for running back. And Barry Sanders was at the game, so he got to congratulate him, I'm sure. But and Calvin Johnson was there. They welcomed him. So that was fun.
Calvin was there. That was great. Let's see here.
You were saying Amon-Ra, was it 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns or something?
10 touchdowns.
Or 10.
1,000 yards, 3 consecutive years, I think it was, which is only 3 men in the NFL have ever done that. Let's see. There's some other numbers here. Gibbs had a single season franchise record of 20 touchdowns. He joins Hall of Famers O.J. Simpson, Marshall Faulk, and David Johnson as the 4 players in the league history to have 1,900 yards or more from scrimmage and at least 16 rushing touchdowns.
Wow, that's awesome.
He's one among 4.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing.
And then did J-Mo cross 1,000 yards in this game? He was close, I know.
You know what? I don't know.
I guess I should have checked that before this started. But
yeah. Well, it was
kind of funny. 1,001 yards. 1,001.
All right.
So there you go.
Good. That's one thing fun about the last weekend of the football. When you're watching, they got all these guys that are trying to get milestones, you know, to get their bonuses and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, a lot of the games, that Sutton, the receiver from Denver, he needed 85 yards, you know. And watching him get, he got his $500,000. Geno Smith got $3 million for them winning that game.
Oh, yeah. I saw there was, like, 3 different incentives, and he hit them all.
I know.
In that game.
Stuff like that's kind of fun. I don't know if the Lions players had anything, like, any of our players had anything like that going, but...
The most prominent one was Mike Evans. He was going to get $3 million if he had 1,000 yards a season. And the Buccaneers already clinched it. And then he got like a little like 9-yard reception on the last one, like the last second, the second to last play of the game, or whatever. He got his 1,000 yards and the whole team went crazy.
Yeah, right, that's funny.
Yeah, I was watching that. That was awesome.
And then we saw that Kirby got screwed. He could have, if he made the Pro Bowl, which he won the fan vote, but he didn't get selected. That was like another $3 million or something like that.
Well, apparently his peers think he's a dirty player. So.
Yeah, well, he's good, though. That's all I know. He's our guy.
Yeah.
It's like Sue was never dirty with the Lions because he was a Lion.
Hey, you know what? If I wasn't a Lions fan, I'd probably Sue would have been the dirtiest player out there. But I remember we were always trying to defend him all the time. He didn't really step on that guy's leg. Like, he sort of lifted. He didn't, like, really step down hard on it.
Right.
You know? He didn't kick that guy in the nuts on purpose. Come on. I mean, I don't know. What a true guy.
That's fun. But, anyway, yeah.
Yeah, we have a couple weeks to rest up now. A couple injuries in this game. Zeitler came out with a pulled hammy at the end of the game. Mahogany had to go in and finish up for him.
And the scary one. Terry and Arnold getting carted off, but apparently he says he's going to play in the next game. So
yeah, so that's good news. So good news, and hopefully Zeitler's hamstring isn't too bad, and he'll be back too because he's been playing great football this year. But it's nice to know Mahogany can fill in capably if he has to.
Yeah, and what about St. Rita product Pat O'Connor? I know he had to leave the game.
Yes, he left the game too, and I never got an update on what his status was, so we'll have to see what's up with that. Hopefully he'll be okay because he's been a nice contributor here down toward the end of the season.
Yeah,
he's done a nice job, so yeah, I hope he can come back. Another standout in this game I gotta mention though is Levi Anzarike. I don't know if I mentioned him earlier. Man, he was a force for yesterday. He led the team in hurries in that game.
Oh yeah.
And nice. And he was a force there. The interior rush was quite good.
Yeah.
Pascal and
Reeder
and Za'Darius Smith. Wow. Those guys just did a phenomenal job.
That was Za'Darius Smith with that one big sack he got, man, in the game.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
You think that guy's happy he got traded?
Oh God. He's the happiest guy in America, man.
All he had to do was move a couple hundred miles north or whatever, right? And
oh yeah. From the day he got here, he was excited, and now he's gotta be really excited. And he's contributing, so that's the important thing. And it's awesome. So
it is awesome.
Yeah, I think we hit most of the highlights, and we won't know who we're playing yet. Obviously, we gotta see who's playing, you know, who beats who, and it's nice to be able to sit back and just relax this week and just switch football on and no stress.
It is going to be nice. Yeah. I get to sit back, watch the college bowl games, go Notre Dame. What else? I don't know. It's going to be fun. Are you rooting for anybody in particular to win?
In the college?
No. Well, college or pro. Either one.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of hoping. I'm a Michigan fan, but I'm kind of rooting for Notre Dame. For you, I used to like them a little bit when I was a kid. But yeah, I don't know. I don't really. Trying to think of another team that I really care about, but in the NFL, not really. But
in the NFL, no.
So it'll beat each other up.
I just don't think it matters.
No,
it doesn't. Who we play against? I honestly just don't think it matters.
Yeah, and the Packers, you know, Jordan Love got hurt, and Christian Watson's out for the season, so they're in trouble. So probably won't be facing them. We could face the Vikings again next. We know. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if you saw that, but after the game, Campbell went up to Coach McDonald. Probably seen a couple weeks.
Oh yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, that was cool.
I respect that guy though. Kevin O'Connell's a good coach, and I think they're probably hoping to win this year. I guess they have one of the older rosters in the league, so they're
I agree with you. He is an excellent coach. He's done a real good job with that team. They weren't even expected to win more than 7 games this year. And, they won 14, so they had a pretty damn good year.
Yeah.
Bad. So, you know, respect to them. They had a great year. So.
Yeah. Tip the hat. And then
they pushed us to the brink.
Yes, they did.
We still came out on top. So, what do you say, Bob, at that? We just...
Yeah, I think that's the most of the highlights. I'm sure everybody's excited. And I don't know what our...
Oh, you got to get excited, this team.
Oh. Well, Z's not here. I'm not sure what the plan is for the next pod, but it won't be a preview right away because we don't know who we're playing, so I'm not sure what we're going to do. So we'll let everybody know.
Probably after this weekend's games, we'll have a pod coming out probably next Monday or Tuesday. After the games are over, we'll see what the aftermath was and who we're going to play, and we'll talk about it then. So in the meantime, go Lions, baby, and everyone enjoy life. Enjoy being a Lions fan.
So do you know that Z usually does this, but you know the whole outro, who to thank and all that stuff?
Well, that's where we leave it to our producer, Kid Jay.
Well, we could thank him first, and then he can take it from there.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
We'd like to first thank our producer, Kid Jay.
Kid Jay.
Kid
Jay. The best in the business.
He is the best, folks. He's the best.
And Kid Jay, who else do we have to thank?
We want to thank Sideline Report for hosting the podcast and Made Media. We want to thank thank all our listeners for listening. Want to thank from the Detroit Lions for being so fun to watch, and follow us on social media at Drinking Lions on Twitter, Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid on Instagram, and I'm drinking the Blue Kool-Aid on YouTube as well. So follow us on our social media and stay tuned for the next episode, which should be coming next week sometime.
All right.
Thanks, DJ. That was awesome. Gotta do that better than Z.
Yeah.
That was really good, man.
So, yeah. Follow us. Really like good. And subscribe. Everyone.
Yes.
All right.
Not least, as always,
go!
Charging team that will not yield, and when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave, rock, 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 go hard, win the game, with honor you will keep your fame, down the field and gain, a Lions victory,
go!
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.